جنونك سواها
الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. I request please recite salawat all together. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم أرهم تطهيرا. سيما بقية الله الأعظم حجة ابن الحسن أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. For reappearance of Imam Zaman, salawat. Wala'anatullahi ala a'da'ihim wa zalimihim wa ghasibi huquqihim la'anatul da'imatu min al-ana ila qiyam yawmiddin. أما بعد، فقال مولانا إمام الجواد عليه الصلاة والسلام: ما أكثر العبر وقل الاعتبار. صلوات. Condolences to all مؤمنين مؤمنات for this tragical night in history. As all mu'mineen today again have become azadar, mourner for aza of one of the grandson of the Prophet, descendants of Fatimatu Zahra, Imam Muhammad al-Taqi alayhi salatu wassalam. Sign of a Shia is to be mourner with the mourning of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. As Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, when they tried to define Shia, they said, Yahzununa bihuznina. Yahzununa bihuznina. Our Shias, they become in grief with our mourning, and those who become happy with our happiness. Today again history reminds us about a tragedy of an imam who was very young in his age. Ibrahim alayhi salam, in their life, all is a lesson, as an example for the people in the world. Every one is a history. Each one of them is a great character for the life of human being. He was young, but at the same time he played the same role as an old man has to play. It is in the history that in the age of 7 years and a few months, our ninth imam has started his responsibility. So a young man may start thinking how it's possible that someone in this age can hold this responsibility, which is responsibility of imamat. That was the question that was raised after imam started his imamat. Please recite salawat. In the beginning of his imamat, of course, it was a major change in the life of people, and he was introduced as imam by eighth imam. So people, they wanted to see the significance of imamat. Even people, those who are calling themselves as Shia, they become confused. There is possibility that confusion can be caused with a little incident, even by the age. Sometimes age can be a factor that causes confusions. How a young man is going to hold this important responsibility? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this responsibility to an imam, at that time Allah decided that he would give responsibility of imamat to a young man, that everybody can understand that if he would like to give imamat to the young man, then also he would give all types of the attributes and the qualities to a young man that he can be capable to hold the post of imamat. That is why people sometimes, they used to ask questions. One of the scholars that he was the most recognized scholar of the time, Yahya bin Akhtam, who had many debates with the eighth imam and then with the ninth imam. And he was Darbari Mullah, of course. Darbari Mullah, when I said, that means the one who was recognized in the court of Ma'mun, estate Mullah. There are many those who are just state Maulvi, state Mullah. They are recognized by state and supported by them. Although he was a bit learned person, but how he would be able to stand in front of the somebody who is not learned by. So when this scholar, he was asking several questions from Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. After asking questions, when he really got tired and he did not have any question, he comes to Medina after visiting the grave of Prophet. He comes to Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Imam asks Yahya, I can see still you have a question in your mind. So our Imam alayhi salam, they were actually mind reader. They could read minds of people as well. I can see you have some question in your mind. He said, yes, Ibn Rasulullah, I do have a question, but I am shy to ask this question. He said, if you are shy, I am going to tell you what is your question. He said, what is my question? Imam said, you want to ask me that can you testify your imamate? You are a young man. And I would like to see that if you can make it certain for me that you are an imam. Imam takes a stick like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in his hand and he threw it in front of him and he asked from this stick, speak for him. And miraculously this stick, it spoke that hada imamun mansusum min Allah. In many incidents, people, they asked questions. There was a question being asked by Ibrahim ibn Sa'id about imamat of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is narrated that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam came close to an olive tree and he put his hands on the olive tree. And everything that was under the hands of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam becomes silver. It changed to silver. And he says that Imam took that out and gave it to me to make it evident that I am the one who is appointed Imam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the love of Imam Jawad, please say salawat. Appointment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a young man as Imam of the Ummah, that was a great lesson, to teach a lesson to the Ummah, to Mu'mineen Mu'minat, that it is His will that whomsoever He likes to hand over this important responsibility, He can. And if Imam becomes Imam in the young age, he would do the same job as the previous Aimar Salam have done. And there will be no change. The capability of Imamat, that was one of the most important lessons that was given in the time of our ninth Imam. And also, our ninth Imam becomes an example for the youth all over the world. He has to be Imam for youth, Imam for young people, that those children should realize that childhood is not a reason that somebody cannot be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Youth time cannot be subject that somebody cannot achieve those greater levels before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Age cannot be an obstacle that somebody cannot be knowledgeable. So throughout the history, we had examples, like example of Allama Hilli, Rizwanullah ta'ala alayh. In the very young age, in the age of 9, Allama Hilli, he was a mujtahid because he followed the path of Aimma alayhim salam, path of a youth imam, a young imam. So Imam wanted to give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give a courage to the youth that you are capable to hold responsibilities. And Allah bestows those bounties upon anybody who gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I began with one of the ahadith of our ninth Imam, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salatu wassalam. Where Imam has said, Ma akthar al-ibar. وَقَلَّ الْإِعْتِبَارِ. Very short hadith, but very meaningful. There are many secrets in this hadith. And that is beauty of an infallible, that when they speak shorter. And there is beauty of knowledge, that when knowledge increases, at that time speech becomes less, shorter, but becomes meaningful. Not necessarily that somebody has to speak lengthy that is going to be meaningful. But speeches, if they are shorter but meaningful, short and sweet, that gives better message. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam in this five words has said a great lesson for all of us. He said, Ma akthar al-ibar. How many lessons do we have? Ibar is from Ibra. Ibra, that means, actually it is taken from Ubur, when we pass away through the passage. A Ma'bar is the place where we pass through. Or sometimes bridge is called Ma'bar. And when we pass through any place, at that time we observe the surrounding. And through observation, we take lessons. Imam says, Ma akthar al-ibar. How plenty, how many there are lessons. Wa qall al-i'tibar. But there are few those who take those lessons. How less are the people, those who take lessons from these ibar. As the Quran also encourages the people, فَعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Take lessons, O those who are intellectuals. Take lessons of this world. One of the lessons from the life of our ninth Imam is holding responsibility in the age of youth. That is the very first lesson somebody has to take. Let us rethink that, are we born in this world to play, or are we born in this world for another objective? What is the reason? We were born for amusement, or we were born for some other reason. What is the reason for our birth? And that was another lesson that our ninth Imam had given when he was with young people playing outside. Other people, they were playing, and Imam alayhi salatu wasalam was standing beside. And these children, they asked Imam alayhi salatu wasalam that you should come and play with us. And suddenly Mamun comes and he asked, what is the reason that you are standing aside? You know, today if a young man stands aside and he's not going to be mixed up with other children, then they are going to make many types of the name for him. They are going to call him nerd sometime. This is Imam. This is Imam standing aside, not being mixed. And when he was asked, what is the reason you don't mix up with other people? Imam says, we are not born in this world to play. We are not born in this world to waste our time. Our time is priceful. It's important. It's valuable. Imam was thinking at the same time while he was standing with the children. So he was not a child like other children, but he was a significant child. He wanted to give a lesson that he can be example for the youth today. The age of youth is really important. Please say salawat all together. Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam has said about the time of youth. He said, Ashabul Jawad Az-Zahid Huwa Ahabbu Ilallahi من الشيخ البخيل العابد. Imam compares a young man with the qualities and an old man with some of the qualities. A young man with the qualities, he said, Al-Jawad, the one who is generous. So name of our ninth Imam, although it was Taqi, Muhammadun Taqi, but at the same time he was called as Jawad, a generous. Imam says, a young man who is Jawad and generous in his life, Az-Zahid, the one who refrains from the benefits of this world, huwa ahabbu ila Allah, that is the most beloved before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min ash-shaykh al-bakhil, an old man that is stingy, is not a generous, but he keeps worshipping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send us in this world just to worship, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this world for important reasons. At the same time, when we worship, we have to be generous. We have to have a giving hand. We have to sacrifice, give up whatever we have. And that was one of the most important quality that made our ninth Imam as Jawadul A'imma, generous amongst the A'imma alayhim as-salam. For the love of Imam Jawad, please say salawat. Our sixth Imam again speaks with the parents about the youth. He says, Badiru ahdathakum bil hadith. Teach your children, teach your youth ahadith of A'imma alayhim as-salam. And hasten towards those ahadith. Give them the tool in their hands. Best of the tool in the hands of our children, it can be ahadith of A'imma alayhim as-salam. Let them learn those words of wisdom. Make them familiar with ahadith of A'imma alayhim as-salam. See the maxims of Amirul Mu'mineen. There are shorter. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So as ladies are saying salawat, please you say salawat one more time. Allahumma salli ala Imam says, "Badiru ahdathakum bil hadith qabla an yasbiq ilayhimul murji'ah." Murji'ah was one of the confused group, those who had misconceptions. I can say that don't let them that they become confused. Don't let them that they are misguided. Give them ahadith of A'imma alayhim as-salam. If a youth starts being familiar with ahadith of A'imma alayhim as-salam, that is going to give them wisdom. They can speak with the logic of A'imma alayhim as-salam, logic of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And that is something that make us that we can follow the path of our ninth Imam. And look at the ninth Imam, that when he speaks with the youth, he says, Raqibu shahwati la taqalu atarata. If somebody rides on the horse of shahwat, on the horse of desires, because desires do not have something that you can tame, and when you ride on that type of horse, it is going to take towards the valleys where you don't like to, and you will go and fall down into the sins. Do not ride on the horses of shahwat and desires. So one of the most important lessons that we can take from his beginning of imamat, that was the youth age. And our imam was example for the people in his time. When he said that there are many lessons in this world, ma aktharul ibar, see in this world, observe sometimes, how many lessons do we have in this world? Everything in this world is a lesson. Our seventh Imam sometimes had said, "Inna fi kulli shay'in ibra." In everything in this world, there is a lesson. Somebody comes to the sixth Imam asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Yabna Rasulullah, you say that you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen. Why we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" Imam alayhi salam, as he was sitting under the sunshine, Imam said, "Can you move your eyes toward the sun?" When he moves his eyes, he says, "Can you see the sun?" He said, "I cannot." Imam said, "The one who cannot see a little creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how that would be possible that he can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" So you see, with a small example, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam has given a lesson of monotheism, lesson of tawheed. Ma akthar al-ibar. How great lessons are in everything. You know, when you start driving the car and there are cars coming from other side and you are driving the car as well, in front of the car there are headlights, right? These headlights are being created by the eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in front of a human being. If these eyes were being on the sides of human being, then this angle could not be there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the eyes with a perfect angle that human being can see everything at the same time with the both eyes. And when human being has observed the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has created those headlights. But if headlights were being behind us, if driver was sitting and if there were headlights behind us, and then also we could see, but we could not see the path, we would have seen only the car. We could not observe the path. In order to observe the path, it was important that headlights have to be fixed in front of the car, that driver can observe the path. That is the reason that Prophet, peace be upon him, has placed two headlights. He said, "Inni tarikun feekum uttaqalain, kitab Allah wa itrati ahlu bayti." For religion also, there are two headlights. And these two headlights have to be always in front of us. إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدِي. If you put them always, see everything through Quran and Ahlul Bayt. They have to be your aina, your glass that you can see through. They have to be your light. Through the light of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, you have to see everything. So brothers and sisters, everything has ibrah. When you pass through the things, do not just pass through. Observe everything. Try to take lessons from the life. Many people, they live just in heedless. But these are Aimma alayhimus salam. They lived with open eyes. They observed everything. They have been able to take lesson from everything. Inna fi kulli shay'in lakum ibra. In everything there is a lesson for you. When you wake up in the morning, there is a lesson. Go to sleep, there is a lesson. See towards the moon, there is a lesson. When you look at the stars, there is a lesson. In your life, there are many lessons that you can take. So let us take one lesson from the life of our ninth Imam, Al-Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam. Our ninth Imam has said, "Thalathun la yublaganna بالعبد رضوان الله تعالى. That there are three ثلاث يبلغن بالعبد رضوان الله تعالى. There are three things that are going to take somebody closer to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the most and the highest stage that somebody can achieve in this world. And in paradise also, the most important stage that is being said, although there are levels in the paradise. There is lowest level, there is highest level. Highest level of paradise that is being said, Rizwan. Rizwan is the top, most top level of paradise. Because that is under the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, three are the people, those who can reach to Ridwanullah. First is kathratul istighfar. Lesson in the life of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Kathratul istighfar. Ask forgiveness most of the time. Seek forgiveness. Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu. But it should not be meaningless. It has to be meaningful. One can achieve Ridwanullah if he says Astaghfirullah meaningful. One Astaghfirullah is better than saying thousands time. And Istighfar in youth age, in young age, that is something that is beloved before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves those who do istighfar in the beginning of their life. Purify in this age. Because that is the age you need to invest in. As you invest, you equip yourself with the knowledge. You learn and study in various skills. At the same time, you need to make yourself skilled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See about the ninth Imam. It is said that he was one of the Ubbad, best worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ziyarat of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, it is said, As-salamu alayka ya noor Allah alladhi yustata'u bihil ard. Oh, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through him everything has become enlightened. So, Aimma alayhi salam were the personalities that through worship they become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-istighfar. And kathratul istighfar. That takes us closer to the pleasure of Allah, Ridwanullah. Second thing that can make an abd close to Ridwanullah, that is leanul janib. Lean. Nul janib, narm rui, kindness, leniency. And I think this leniency has been taken from Arabic. There is possibility that this has been taken from the Arabic. That somebody is lenient. When you treat to the other people, at that time you have to be leanul janib. Your character should be kind character. You should not be emotional all the time. You have to treat other people with leniency. Being with the people, it requires that we should live like Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. See that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam sometimes how they treated Ma'mun, Mu'tasim, those who were enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But at the same time, Aimma alayhi salam have been able sometimes with their akhlaq to inspire them, sometimes to motivate them, although they were not being capable to be motivated. But Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam affected their life. They entered in their life, and through their character, they have been able to change their mentality sometimes. So they were making conspiracies after conspiracy. For example, Ma'amun decided that he would like to give his daughter as in the marriage to our ninth Imam. And many people, they were opposing. Scholars of the time, they said that he is just a young man. Are you going to give your daughter to this young man? There are many scholars, there are many intellectuals in the community, and you have decided to give your daughter to this young man? He said, don't look at him just as a young man. He's not an ordinary young man. He's a young man from the progeny of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you see that Ma'amun, by being ruler of the country, Aimma alayhimus salam have been able to be affected on their minds. Then they said, you know, if can you make that evident that he knows something? He says, okay, you can call all the scholars and we'll set a majlis where we'll ask him to speak and you can speak as well. Ask any question from him that you like to ask. So that was the character of Aimma alayhimus salam, that in their life they have been able to affect even the rulers of the time, those who were cruel rulers, with their akhlaq, with their ilm and knowledge. They have been able to change. So leenul janib, that is second character, and that has been said after kathratul istighfar. How somebody can achieve this leniency? How somebody can achieve this kindness when we practice kathratul istighfar? Because when somebody is aware that he can make a wrong in his life as well, I make many wrongs in my life. I have many shortcomings. That is why I have been asked kathratul istighfar. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And when I know that I have many sins in my life, then I would be lenient about the other people as well. Then I will treat other people with this quality. Then I will not be arrogant, because I know that I have same types of problems that other people they have. I'm not something that is completely different than other people. Third quality to reach to Ridwanullah, Imam said, kathratu sadaqa. One of the things that is been said in Quran, various places, aqimu salat wa atu zakat, giving sadaqa, giving the charity, is one of the great character of a mu'min. When Quran reminds, and when you read ziyarat of Aimma alayhimus salam, at that time we all say, ashhadu annaka qad aqamta as-salat wa ataita az-zakat wa amarta bil ma'ruf wa nahayta anil munkar. These are the qualities that we remind ourselves all the time. You are the one who performed the prayer in your life and who have given the charity. Our Aimma alayhimus salam, they were being charitable personalities in their life, not charitable organization. We make organizations. Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam themselves were being a charitable organization. They were being ummah of the charity, ummah of the sadaqah. Those who used to give the people. Anybody comes that will go back from Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam happy. It is said that in the life of ninth Imam, while he was praying, somebody comes asking Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, can you give me a little sadaqah? Imam did not have anything. And because Imam can give miraculously, Imam takes musalla. So he wanted to say that I am not an ordinary person, that I can give what I have in my pocket. He takes his musalla and ja namaz. And Imam put his hand under the janamas. And he took the money and gave it in the hands of the sa'il, the beggar. And he said, my own needs were fulfilled. So kathratu sadaqa is a character that Imam al-Islam says one can reach to ridwanullah, pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam said, talatun man kunna fihi lam yandab. With that I will close today. Three are the people, those who never become ashamed. Three are the people, those who never become ashamed. One, tarkul ajala. Ajala, that means hastening. That means doing something hastening, not thinking about that. There are many things that we have been asked to do, hasten. Musari'a. There are many things we have been asked, do not be in hasten. When we like to do any good deed, we have been asked, sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbik. You should hasten towards forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fastabiqul khayrat. Be upfront when you like to do any good deed. But when it comes to any other action, then it's been said, you have to think about. Do not hasten towards that. When you like to plan about something, do not hasten towards that. Think about that. When there is anything that you like to give justice, when you like to give decisions, over there, do not hasten towards that. You have to think about that. When you like to treat other people, at that time, do not hasten towards that. Tarkul ajala. This ajala, it's been said, al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. This hastening sometime, it's from evil shaitan. He wants to make us hasten towards the bad deeds. He wants us that we fail in our agendas. He wants that we fail in our projects. So tarkul ajala is one of the quality that if we have in our life, if we do not hasten in our life about the projects, at that time we will not be ashamed. Second thing he said, wal mashwara. Consult with the people. It's really interesting that we speak about religious matters and we don't consult with anybody. We give fatwa, we give verdicts. Our people, they start giving verdicts and they don't have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't consult with anybody. They don't ask, is this something that is good deed or bad deed? Sometimes we consider something is good deed. There is possibility it's not. Sometimes we may consider something as a bad deed, but it's not. It's our definition. Our definition cannot be religion. Religion is something that is defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we have been asked that you have to see with the eyes of Quran and Itra. Quran and Ahlul Bayt, please say salawat. Mashwara and consultation is really important. When you like to take mashwara, at that time consult with the person who has expertise in that field. Do not consult with other people. For example, when you like to take a doctor, you're not going to ask from Maulana. You don't need to ask. You're not going to write a letter to Mujtahid that what type of doctor I have to take. When you like to go to mechanic at that time, you don't need to ask Maulana. Although sometimes people, they really call. Maulana, should I do it or should not do? So it's nothing to do with Maulana. In Mashwara, you have to consult with the people, those who have expertise in that field. It's really important. But when it comes to religious matters, at that time, don't make your decisions. At that time, consult. and this consultation is going to resolve your matters. Unfortunately, what we do is that we make our decisions. And that is how sometimes, instead of making something good, we make corruption. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it. Mashwara is really important. An alim should consult with the elders, with the people, those who are above than him. He has to consult. When we like to make our planning, at that time we need to consult. This is something that if we practice in our life, definitely we will not be nadim, will not be shameful later on. Third lesson that Imam has given, Imam said, if you do not like to be nadim in your life, وَالتَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ عِنْدَ الْعَازِمِ. When you decided about something, at that time there is no need to do istikhara. I said that bluntly because, you know, this is something that all the time people, they think that for everything they have to do istikhara. So they have actually given this mind off time. You go, I'm going to follow istikhara. I'm not going to do anything with the intellect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Brothers and sisters, it's important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this smart mind. If we do not use that, it's going to be useless. And then we will have problem in common sense. Sometimes this common sense, it's going to be affected because of that as well. We'll do istikhara about common sense. So somebody was doing istikhara, should I go to the bathroom or no? You know, sometimes this can happen as well. Because people, they become doubtful. And if somebody becomes shakak in the life, there is going to be a real problem. At-tawakkul عند العزم. We need to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we decided about the things. Yes, making decision, it's important. The Imam said you need to consult before you make a decision. You need to think properly. So there were three steps that Imam has said. First, tarkul ajala, do not hasten to make a decision. Second, consult with the people, those who are expert in that field. And then when you decide it, then there is no need for anything else. What it needs, at-tawakkul ala Allah. Then trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to resolve. Sometimes there is possibility istikhara is standing completely in front of tawakkul. That I've decided, but I've not decided. I don't want to do tawakkul. I don't like to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't like to move on. There are still doubts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like to make sure that result is going to be in my favor. No, that is not the meaning of istikhara. Istikhara does not mean that you are going to make sure that result is going to be in your favor. No, not necessarily. Istikhara is going to give you allowance that you can start. Sometimes istikhara, it means that you should see blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istikhara means trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even istikhara, when it's been said, that is being said that you should use that you can make your tawakkul stronger. You can have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was to practice that tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make the people that they can go forward, move forward. To make a move in the life of human being, Imam Ali Muslim suggested when you are stuck in something, over there you can do istikhara that you can move on. But we should not be stuck in everything. But trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be one of the most important practice when we decide it. Dear brothers and sisters, let us today, as we come as a mourner, azadar, in the house of Ahlul Bayt, to give our condolences to Imam of the age. Yes, in this house we come to give condolences to Imam of the age, Imam Zaman. Today, as you are mourning, your Imam is also a mourner. He is also Azadar. Azadar for his grandfather. But you know, you come together and you meet with one another. You see other people and have grief, sorrow. You see the people, they are shedding their tears, and that gives you a relief. My salam upon the one who is alone, who is in the ghiba, living in the ghaibat, and in this ghaibat he is waiting for the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My salam upon his huzn, my salam upon his tears that he sheds when he remembers his forefathers and grandfathers. At that time he says, sometime I shed tears with the blood, my heart bleeds when I remember my grandfather Abu Abdullah. Let us say today, Ya Imam Zamanina, Ya Sahib Al Asr Wa Zaman, we all give condolences to you, that if our condolences can give you a relief for your grandfather. It is said it was end of this month, Ziqada. Before this day arrives, our Imam was brought from Medina, from the city of his grandfather, in the month of Muharram, beginning of the year. He was forced to leave the city of his grandfather. It is narrated that Imam al-Jawad calls his son Imam Hadi, and he says, oh my son, you are going to be my deputy. I'm leaving final time. You know, sometimes you have to cry for yourself. Our Imam alayhi salam sometimes cried for themselves, as Imam Rida when he was leaving Medina. At that time he called the people and he cried for himself. Can somebody go on member for himself? Can somebody recite majlis for himself? Yes, our 8th Imam recited majlis for himself. Our 9th Imam recited majlis for himself, because there will be nobody who will shed tears when he will be alone. Imam said, Imam left city of his grandfather saying, salam to grandfather, assalamu alayka ya Rasulallah. At the final time, I'm leaving the city of you, O my grandfather. I will not come back to your city. I will not be able to be very close to you, ya Rasulallah. He was leaving the city where his grandmother was buried. He was leaving the city where Imam Mujtaba was buried. And Imam comes in Baghdad. After living almost a year, this night comes that when Mu'tasim have given the poison to the wife of our 9th Imam, Ummul Fadl, may Allah curse upon her. It is said this Mal'una mixed the poison in the grapes. She prepared that for Imam. She offered a food that was final food in the life of our 9th Imam. She took that before Imam alayhi salatu salam, and Imam took few of the grapes, and after that Imam said, Ummul Fadl, your intention is completed. Whatever I have eaten, that is going to be sufficient. After she gave poison, she started weeping when she saw Imam alayhi salatu salam, that poison started affecting the body of Imam alayhi salatu salam. Brothers and sisters, our ninth Imam was same as our second Imam, Imam Mujtaba. He was poisoned by his wife, and our ninth Imam was poisoned by his wife. But there is little difference between our ninth Imam and second Imam. You know, our second Imam was in Medina, in the city of his grandfather. He was not a stranger. He was not living under the government. He was not being surrounded by the armed forces. But our ninth Imam was a stranger in Baghdad, where there was nobody. Imam Mujtaba was in Medina. Zainab and Umm Kulthum were close to Imam Mujtaba. And when poison started affecting the life of Imam Mujtaba, sometimes Zainab used to come, sometimes Umm Kulthum, they used to come close to Imam Mujtaba. And they were giving relief to Imam Mujtaba, helping Imam Mujtaba in the final times. But my salam upon ninth Imam, where there was nobody with our ninth Imam Unil Jawad. You know, today we would like to ask Imam Jawad, tawassul with Imam Jawad, as we are remembering our Imam that is called Babul Hawaij. There are two Aimma that are named with Babul Hawaij. If you have Hajat, this is the time when you are shedding the tears. Our seventh Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far, is called Babul Hawaij. And our ninth Imam is also called Babul Hawaij. It is that if somebody speaks with Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam, giving tawassul of ninth Imam, Imam Rida accepts that tawassul. Imam really loves with his son Imamul Jawad. Why? I don't know. Because our ninth Imam lived without father most of his life. He has not been able to spend his time with his father. That is why he becomes the most beloved son for eighth Imam. And that is why he becomes Babul Hawaij. Oh, brothers and sisters, after giving the poison, when there was nobody else with Imam, Imam spends days and nights alone worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Nurullah, Assalamu alayka ya Nurullah. He was departing from this world. A time comes that our ninth Imam departed from this world. As he was alone, he was Ghareebul Ghuraba, ya Imamun al-Jawad. In the city of Baghdad, alone he departed from this world. Maybe at the final point he said, oh my son Aliyun al-Hadi, if you could come close to me, I would like to see you at the final moment, brothers and sisters. But let's see, brothers and sisters, after the martyrdom of ninth Imam, it is said that he was given ghusl and kafan. His body was taken with respect and honor. Our ninth Imam comes miraculously to perform funeral and janazah for the ninth Imam. Our tenth Imam came to city of Baghdad to perform his janazah, as janazah of every Imam is being performed by another Imam. But let me say salam. Let me say salam to the one whose funeral was remaining in the battlefield of Karbala. You know, it is really amazing that whenever we remember Aba Abdullah al-Hussein,
the grief is kind of grief that you cannot stay without weeping and crying whenever you remember, because you know Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam has said, whenever you see any funeral at that time, remember me. Whenever you remember any martyr, just remember me. That was advice of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He said, whenever you see any thirsty, at that time, remember my thirst. You know, as we are remembering a shaheed, an Imam Shaheed, an infallible Shaheed, a Shaheed that was Gharibul Ghuraba. Let us see another Gharibul Ghuraba in Karbala. What kind of Gharibul Ghuraba? That his family is also arrested. His son was arrested. His sisters were arrested. They were not being allowed to come close to the body. His parts of the body were being cut from the body. He is a gharib that remained in the battlefield of Karbala for 3 days. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifinaik. Alayka minni salamullahi abadan ma baqitu. Wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar. Wa la ja'alahu allahu akhir al-ahdi. Minni liziyaratikum all together. Assalamu ala al-Husayn وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ماتم حسين.